Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
I would like to welcome everyone to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Our topic today is Humans, the New Cash Crop. Wow, Dr. Daniels, this is quite a title.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about this, and I figured, you know, this is the missing piece. What's really going on with our healthcare system is that humans have literally become a cash crop, just like cattle or hogs. And the healthcare system is an important part of processing and harvesting this cash crop. And so I figured I'd talk about that to just kind of shed more light on it.
Great. Now, I want to tell everybody that you're listening to the Blake Radio. This is Rainbow Soul, Healing with Dr. Daniels. Please visit Dr. Daniels at vitalitycapsules.com/find out to find out your risks of murder by medicine. Now, Dr. Daniels, can you tell us what you mean by a cash crop?
Yes. A cash crop is that humans are being raised just like farm animals, and they're actually being harvested regularly, just like you would shear sheep for their wool, and the farmer would sell the wool and profit. Actual economic harvest is taking place, and profits are being literally torn from the bodies of human beings.
Now, can you give our listeners a framework to understand this?
Yes. In order to understand a farm animal, first you have to understand what is a free animal, a free person or a free animal. How are they distinguished from, say, a farm animal? A huge distinction is an individual that's free, that's not farmed, incarcerated, and exploited, can obtain everything that they need or require for life directly from the earth or directly from another natural being with no fees, no special permission, no restrictions. And a free human being or free individual can come and go as they please. So if you have to request sick leave or use of your vacation time, that's a form of restriction of your mobility, and that's a sign that you're not free. Also, and this sounds really outrageous, but a free person can engage in sex at their discretion. So they decide who their partner is going to be or who their partner will not be, and they can also reproduce at their discretion. So when a free person or a wild animal feels like conceiving or having a family, they can. They can also obtain housing according to their choice and preference, and they can use the energy they want to. And in terms of humans, this would mean if you want to use oil, it's fine, or gas, or electricity, or wood, or paper, whatever kind of fuel you choose to use, you can. And you can obtain water from the earth, no obligation to hook up to the municipal water, or any kind of grid for that matter. And also, you can raise your children in accordance with your discretion. These are all signs that you're free. And so when any of these areas is restricted, then that indicates that you're not free, that farming is taking place, and literally you have the rights, all the rights of a farm animal.
Now, well, can you tell us the difference from being on a farm from this?
Yes. So I just described was a person who's free, a person who's not living on the farm. But if you, but if you're living on the farm, I'd like to first talk about it in terms of just 100% pure, what would an animal experience, and then we can kind of make a human analogy. So you have to look at it from the farmer's perspective. What does the farmer do? The farmer profits from everything the farm animal does. The farm animal can only do what makes a profit for the farmer. Any activity that enhances the farmer's profits is okay. Thanks, even rewarded, encouraged. Anything that reduces the farmer's profits is punished or prohibited and discouraged. And all information the farm animal receives is censored by the farmer. So there's special lights to mimic daylight, mimic darkness, or sounds to make the animal believe that it's safe. And I'm going to discuss farming in detail and draw some parallels with humans in Western culture, like in the United States in particular. And, of course, specifically in the healthcare system. The first sign that you're being farmed is reproduction. Reproduction is strictly regulated by the farmer, for example. Like the farmer is not going to let a prize heifer breed with a cow that hasn't got the proper pedigree. And so the reproduction is regulated by the farmer. And the farmer is not going to allow a veal animal, for example, to reproduce, because that animal is designated for veal. It's not supposed to reproduce. And sexual activity happens only with the consent of the farmer. A good example, this is horse breeding. You have a teething stallion, which is supposed to just get the mare a little excited, and you have a breeding stallion, which is actually supposed to pass on his genes. And with humans, we see, for example, that reproduction is heavily, heavily regulated by the farmer, people who are farming people. And it's so subtle, you almost would miss it. But if you're a woman and you are not fertile and you require what they call assisted reproductive technology, you don't decide the genetic makeup of the sperm that you receive. Someone else makes that decision, and they hand you a list and say, these are the sperm that you can choose from. And so the reproductive choice, the choice to reproduce, and the genetic makeup of one's offspring is being more and more limited, regulated, and controlled, in other words, farmed. And as more and more women require infertility treatments, this is the case. Now, infertility has been linked, of course, to diet, to eating things like GMO foods and processed foods. The next thing I did mention was sexual activity. And again, if you have to take a pill, if you're a man, and you have to take a pill to in order to engage in sexual intercourse, then actually you're being farmed. You are literally having to pay a fee in order to have sex. And then comings and goings are always regulated by the farmer. The farmer never, 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 never allows cows and pigs to just come and go willy-nilly as they please. And we see this as we see more, you know, passport requirements, more checkpoints, car regulations, restricted areas. And if you want to do something, it involves your insurance company. A lot of times it's authorizations and restrictions. So you can see, again, that those activities are not only regulated, but include profit. If you try to buy a passport, renew a passport, whatever, you definitely feel like you're being farmed. And food is also obtained in the amount and type controlled by the farmer. For example, not labeling GMO foods is a definite lack of choice. And so the citizens are being treated just like farm animals. And what happens when you eat the food that the farmer gives you? Well, you become more profitable to the farmer. And so the people who make GMO foods, of course, are the same people that make our medications. And so they make GMO foods, you eat the GMO foods, you become sick, and you buy more medications. And so that's a definite form of farming. Also, when I was growing up as a kid, I grew up in a transition time. So when we first moved into this neighborhood, there were apple trees and pear trees all along the streets. And the government came through and just cut down all the fruit trees. And the reasoning was the fruit trees caused litter. Well, they also caused people not to shop at the store. So you could just go get a pear tree, get a pear anytime you want to. And so literally, you're being farmed if the store or the grocery store is your only access to food. And also, medication is controlled and regulated by the farmer. For example, there's estrogens for the bull to keep them docile. And there's antibiotics, supposedly to help the animals grow bigger and faster. And we see in humans that men get a very, very high dose of estrogen. They get very high estrogen doses when they drink out of plastic containers, when they drink tap water, when they eat regular commercial meats. All of these things give men a high amount of estrogen. And so now we notice men, of course, have low sperm counts, and then what do they have to do? They have to pay extra money to be harvested and farmed if they want to reproduce. So they have to basically spend money and pay the farmer, and this, again, is a form of harvesting. We also see things like vaccines, which are compulsory. Again, you know you're being farmed when you don't have a choice. So when consumption is compulsory, that's the first sign. And as Dick Gregory said, if vaccines were so good for you, people would be stealing them. And we see this with ADHD medications, which are also compulsory. So any compulsory drugging or medication is a form of farming because you lack the choice, and a form of harvesting because financial gain is received by the entity providing those drugs to you. That's who's harvesting you. Also, animals have no direct access to plants and herbs for healing. So pigs are kept in a pig pen. They only have access to what the farmer allows. And this is what's happening to humans in terms of availability of herbs or access to natural healing. And so it's a definite direct parallel. So what's happening to humans is just exactly what's happening to farm animals. They are being treated the same way. And what humans fail to appreciate is, or what they fail to appreciate is that government is not only farming them, but if the government even exerts a say in terms of what plants you can eat or not eat, then that's what's going on, is you are being farmed. Because that's the key essence of being a farm animal, is you don't have the choice, and you can only do what profits a third party. And also, if you live in a high-rise, you're definitely being farmed. Because what does that mean to live in a high-rise? To live in a high-rise means that you're in very close quarters, just like pigs in a pig pen. And if you want to access things like water, for example, your only source of water is municipal water, which you have to pay for, and the quality of which in terms of your personal health is definitely in doubt. And so there's no choice or opportunity to refuse what the farmer decides to give. So compulsory housing codes, that's really important, because if you have compulsory housing codes, it means the house has to be built, it has to be on grid, so the person has to pay monthly amounts of money, either for utilities or for services. And regular periodic extractions of value happen on a schedule determined by the farmer, for example, the shearing of sheep, or the monthly payment of property taxes, or the quarterly payment or annual payment of income taxes. And so there's a harvest process whereby animals are killed in a manner beneficial to the farmer. In the United States, we see that there's at least 700,000, probably closer to 800,000 deaths each year at the hands of the healthcare system. And there are no investigations of these deaths, and there are no arrests. So you can only deduce, and properly so, that these deaths are creating profit for the individuals who are literally farming people. The people are literally being farmed, and just like animals, they are being slaughtered. And in the case of their slaughter, more profit accrues to the farmers, as is always the case. And just in case you have any doubt about this, any debt that does not result in benefit to the farmer is illegal and punished. For example, poaching. So if one pig harms another pig, or if a hunter illegally killed one of the pigs that was, you know, would have been slaughtered for profit, then that's a huge crime. And so we see the 14,700 murders that happened in the United States in 2010, for example. These involved investigations, incarcerations. Many of the folks incarcerated were actually innocent, but that wasn't the point. The point was to condition the population that it's not okay to freelance, especially in the area of murder. It's only okay to kill on behalf of the farmer. In other words, if it's a death associated with the healthcare system or with the association of any industrial or commercial activity. So any death that results in benefit to the farmer is condoned. It's not penalized. Heck, it's not even investigated. I mean, it's like, would you investigate the death of an animal that was taken to slaughter by his farmer? Of course not. And so the animal is no input into decision as to location or circumstances of birth or death. And death is predominantly an expensive matter. So we have hospitals, we have hospice, we have nursing homes, and all of these are forms of farming. And birth at home is all but illegal. Why? Because the person's born at home, the farmer doesn't get paid. And so birth and death must result in economic benefit to the farmer.
We'll take a quick station break here to let our listeners know you're listening to the Blake Radio. This is Rainbow Soul, filling with Dr. Daniels. Please visit Dr. Daniels at vitalitycapsules.com/find out to find out your risk for murder by medicine. Now, Dr. Daniels, what about education? Can you give us some examples of that?
Yeah, education is an important part of farm animals because any information, entertainment, or amusement is controlled, has to be controlled by the farmer. Not only because it needs to result in profit to the farmer, but it conveys information that will help the farmed animals behave in a way that's profitable to the farmer. So a lot of information actually is misinformation. But information or education, like just like lighting in the hen house or daylight savings time or expensive toys. Also, in order to get humans to cooperate with their farming, they need to be suspicious of each other and totally trusting of the farmer. And a conditioning program needs to be in place for this, and that program begins early in life, namely preschool and school. And so animals, even humans, are separated from their parents as soon as possible. This way, they regard their farmer as their benefactor and sole source of survival and give him their total loyalty. And this is an important aspect of compulsory schooling. And the reason compulsory schooling is needed and people need to get an education is so that they will cooperate with the farming process.
Now, Dr. Daniels, what about Adam and Eve in the Bible in the original sin?
Well, we have to remember who wrote the Bible. The Bible we're now working with is called the King James Version. That means that King James edited the Bible for his own particular ends, to make people more easy to govern and more obedient. Now, so if we take a look at Eve's original sin in this context, her sin was she reached for an apple, or got Adam to reach for an apple in the tree. In other words, he took an apple and did not pay a tax to the king. He went directly to nature and decided he was going to feed himself without being farmed, without being taxed, and without paying a portion to the king. Then that was his original sin. And to this day, that is the sin. And that's why we see all these laws restricting people's right to grow their own food, restricting people's right to provide food for themselves directly without going through a commercial entity. And this applies or extends also to people being prohibited or restricted from gathering rainwater, their own water. And some governments or states say, oh, well, we can't let people gather rainwater because it's acid rain. I mean, as if the person couldn't buy a one-time filter to handle that. Of course they could. But, again, a farmed animal is not allowed to get their own food directly from nature or decide what food they're going to eat or decide what water they're going to drink or even their shelter. An animal is not permitted to build its own home, collect its own water, as I said, and make these decisions.
Now, how does the increase of security and police powers play into this?
Well, the animal is not permitted to defend itself. The farmer has a monopoly on force. This is really important. and you have to manipulate and control these animals into conformity by training them that they are not to resist authority. And by gradually increasing the amount of abuse they will accept and minimizing the amount of opposition they put up. And so it's very important. For example, animals are manipulated into conformity by training them. For example, getting horses to all run around the track in the same way for races, of course, for the amusement of their owners / farmers. And we see this again in standardized schooling. So it's very, very important to have increased security, decreased choice, and decreased abilities to come and go.
And once again, we'll take a quick station break to let everyone know that you're listening to the Blake Radio. Rainbow Soul, this is Phil and Dr. Daniels. Please visit Dr. Daniels at vitalitycapsules.com / find out to find out your risk for murder by medicine. Now, Dr. Daniels, can you give us an example of harvesting and farming of humans?
Yes. I'll stick to health-related farming and harvesting, and if we have time, extend it to other aspects of, if time permits.
Yes. Okay, great. I want to tell listeners it's okay to raise your hand. You're welcome to ask questions. And if you need that number is 914-338-0695. Again, that number is 914-338-0695. Okay, Dr. Daniels.
All right. Well, I'm going to start with the kind of medical perspective. There's a few cultural things in here, too. And one thing we've often heard people say, this is a young couple studying us, oh, my God, children are so expensive. We can't possibly afford children. We're going to wait until we're a little older. We've got better jobs. We earn more money. Then we're going to have children. Then we're going to be able to afford children. And I always wondered about that. Cause like, man, nothing's cheaper than having kids. Like, you know, just have sex and they kind of show up and that's the way it works. But you know what? Those people were right. I was wrong. It is very expensive to have kids. And I'm going to show you why. It all comes down to farming. First off, every time you have sex, it costs $5. And that's so you can pay for a little blue pill. I'm going to guess conservatively that this young, happy couple is deeply in love with having sex 10 times a month. That comes down to, over a five-year period, $3,000 spent just to have sex. And that's so they can get pregnant. Next is conception, actually getting pregnant. Well, it turns out that if this is your typical couple raised on modern high industrial human farm, they are not fertile. And so we're looking at $50,000 per child. We're going to guess that this couple is going to have two kids. They're going to really go for it. That's $100,000 right there. Then let's say they're pregnant, but now kids got to get born. So we, of course, have this baby in a hospital. And now a regular birth can be as much as $10,000. So two kids, $20,000. And circumcision, I'm not even going to give a dollar amount to that. I'm just going to throw that in the mix. The reason I mention circumcision is because when farm animals are born, they get surgery right at birth. In the case of chickens, they get their beaks seared off with a hot metal knife. And so the circumcision is a similar gesture. And then there's food and diapers. This is easily $3 per day. And, of course, the baby's going to have formula because, you know, either mom couldn't make milk or mom had to get right back to work. And so for two kids, it's going to be about $10,000 worth of food and diapers. Then we've got daycare. That's about $50 per kid per day. In a period of 5 years, get the kids to kindergarten, it's $130,000 for two kids. That's a lot of money. And then once we get to kindergarten, by now, the parents have been trained to pay $13,000 per kid per year for daycare. So when they go to school, they don't think anything of the $8,000 a year cost of school. And that's for public school. That is for public school. Because it turns out that there's a lot of hidden expenses for public school. You have to buy clothes for these kids. Whereas if you didn't send them to school, you could just dress them in hand-me-downs or seconds or whatever. So you have clothes, and that's a huge expense every September and every December. Then you have the transportation back and forth. Then there's the after-school activities. and it adds up. And I used to homeschool my kids, but then I started putting them to regular public school, and I'm like, holy cow. And it was $8,000 per kid. I'm like, man, a person could go broke. And so if you do this for two kids for 12 years, that's $192,000 over the course of the remaining 12 years of schooling. And that immunization is about $2,000, $1,000 per kid. And that's if you get all the shots that are recommended. And then, of course, there's health insurance premiums because kids are going to be sick. And it's about $12,000 per year for mom, dad, plus two kids. Now, it's really more than that. It's really more like $1,500 a month. But I'm guessing these are young, healthy parents, and so they would probably be able to get away with $500 a month in health care premiums if they didn't have kids. Then there's transportation, which we'll include that in school. We won't add any more money for that. But here's the big one, time lost from work. These are the phone calls you get that say, come get your kid, he's too sick to be at school. Come get your kid, he hit another kid, and we're going to suspend him. So all this back and forth, all this come get your kid, all this interruption of your work, easily is $4,000 a year of lost time from work. And so if we have these two kids, grand total, from all this basically farming activity, because people are purchasing these services instead of going directly and handling them, and the average couple raising two kids over an 18-year period, $697,900. That's a lot of money. And so that means that really the cost per child and after-tax dollars is $19,300 a year. That's a lot of money. So with those numbers, of course, you can only afford two children. Let's take the other course. Let's say this family is free. They're not on the farm. They're not being farmed at all. And they're totally free. Anything they want to do, they do it directly, and they don't pay the farmer. So what does that look like? Well, if this couple, this young, deeply in love couple decide to have sex, they're going to have sex. And guess what? They won't need the little blue pill. Why? Because they're eating natural wild food. Conception, they're going to get pregnant very easily. So that's free. No bill there. Birth, they'll probably have a nice home birth, maybe invite a couple of friends to help out. We'll give them, say they spent $60 for refreshments. They're a pretty bold couple. Next, food for the first year of life for this kid is going to be free. What's he going to eat? It's going to be breastfed. And he's going to eat some table scraps that were mashed with a fork. And how is this family going to eat? Because there's a bigger question here of food. I'd like to say, I actually did have a garden several years. I had a garden. And I was a city dweller, and I would have to honestly say I was a lousy gardener. I was such a bad gardener that I made the decision that I was not going to just eat the official edible parts of my plants. I decided that the leaves on my broccoli plants were also going to be part of dinner. And so I ate as much of the plant as my kids would allow me to put on the table without incredible protest. And so it turned out, I was very surprised, that I didn't have to shop for anything except dry goods. Occasional bag of beans, occasional bag of rice. My kids grew up in a vegan household. They survived it. The next thing this natural family is going to do is they're going to have cloth diapers. And they might even be so bold as to use old towels that they just have no other use for, rather than going out and buying an expensive package of cloth diapers. So I'm going to give them a $20 budget to go buy some cloth diapers. Daycare, you're not going to pay for it. It's going to be free. Why? They're going to work at home, one way or another. And toys, you're not going to buy toys for the kids, because the kids are going to take apart and repair broken appliances and motors. And they're going to help out with activities of daily living. In school, they're going to be homeschooled. Now, I did this, so I know how much it costs. Homeschool for two kids, 12 years, is $5,000. I was floored when I actually sat down and figured out how much it cost me to homeschool one child. It was literally $250 per kid per year. And now with the Internet, it's even cheaper because you can access a lot of information on the Internet that wasn't available when I was homeschooling. Immunizations, none. Not going to immunize the kids. Health insurance, none. Don't need it. Food, as we talked before, they'll grow their food or barter. And if they want meat, guess what? They might actually go and hunt it themselves. Time off from work, zero. So to raise two children for 18 years, the marginal cost is going to be $288 per child per year. I mean, at that cost, you could afford to have 7 kids. And so what's really going on here is humans are being farmed very aggressively. And many of them don't even realize it. And when I talk to young people, they look at these expenses and say, oh, of course I have to do this. Of course I have to do that. Not realizing that these expenses are simply a symptom of being farmed. And if you have children in this way, as people are in our modern culture, you're going to be financially strapped at every turn. The kids are going to be very sickly and ill, and you're going to absolutely need to pay the monthly harvesting fee of health insurance. Now, just to turn the clock back a bit, way, way back in the 1950s, even the early 60s, a sick child was a very unusual thing. And I remember my parents discussing how useless it was to have health insurance because kids are so healthy. No one needs insurance until they get at least 40. And that was the way back then when people grew food in their backyard and they ate stuff that could actually make them healthy and make them strong.
Now, I want to remind those that are just tuning in to us that you're listening to the Blake Radio. And this is Rainbow Soul. Hello, Dr. Daniels. Today's topic is Humans, the New Cash Crop. Please visit vitalitycapsules.com/find out to find out your risk for murder by medicine. Now, Dr. Daniels, what are some solutions for our listeners?
Well, it turns out that being farmed is the cause of the very high death rate from modern medicine, because the healthcare system has become a tool of the farming system. It's become a tool of the farming by keeping people conditioned and sedated, and it's also become a tool of the harvesting because of the monthly insurance premiums people pay, also because of the high revenue that's extracted when a person receives enough care to result in a death. And so the first thing people need to do is understand that they are being farmed and realize that literally their pockets are being picked and they don't even realize it. So every time you pay a health insurance premium, you are being harvested. That's exactly what's going on. So the answer then for sex, let's say, is if you are taking any kind of medication to facilitate or make your sex life possible, then you're being farmed. And the thing to do is to find ways to solve those problems that don't involve the drugs. And one simple thing for men, which is they're never told this, is a simple change in their diet can totally reverse it. A guy can have a state of just zero level of functioning. He can change his diet and over a period of anywhere from 1 to 3 months, return to full functionality. So that's the sex part. And again, as you can see, that part is related to the diet. And so food really is the medicine, but that healthy food that would cause a cure is actually being withheld. And it's being withheld because the GMOs are not being labeled, number one. Number two, the food that is available through the grocery stores or through farmers are the very foods that are causing the illness that drive people to submit to harvesting in the form of buying medications and seeking this care. So conception, that means actually getting pregnant. So if you have to resort to infertility intervention, you've just been farmed. And I know this because I personally did everything right. I went to school, got my education first, and I said, okay, 27 years old at the time. I said, it's time to start my family, and oops, I was infertile. There was no way I was going to get pregnant, just could not get pregnant. So I had to have surgery. Then I had to use artificial means, namely artificial insemination, in order to conceive. And again, It's just another form of farming. So at that time, my level of knowledge was not where it is now. But now I realize that I simply had to change my diet and, take a few supplements, and that would have resolved it. So depending on your fertility issue, the place to start really is to switch your diet. The real place to start is to start earlier. It's very sad when I see women who are over 40 and trying to conceive. That is very, very, very difficult. Peak fertility back in the 1980s was considered to be age 25, and I'm pretty sure that peak fertility has even gone lower now. So a woman's fertility, at least from the age 25 forward, declines tremendously. And so the longer you wait, the less likely you will be able to have children. And then what are you going to do? You're going to have to be farmed and harvested. And they even talk about harvesting. They say, oh, we're going to harvest your eggs or harvest the sperm. And who decides what eggs or what sperms are used? The individual doesn't. You get a list, a limited list that you choose from. Again, it comes down to almost submitting to genetic breeding. So prenatal care is another issue. I'll just say very briefly, there is no known medical benefit to prenatal care, not to the baby and to the mother. There is actually a considerable amount of harm. And so this is really a dirty little secret. That should be the topic of next week's program. So prenatal care, again, if you want to be farmed, fine. If you don't want to be farmed, then this is definitely a time to, stay at home, sit on your hands. And childbirth, same for prenatal care. And, make that a home event, and you'll be amazed. It'll bring your family together. It'll just really make everything a lot better. My personal story is that I had prenatal care and everything for my first child, but I will say I was totally non-compliant. Everything a doctor told me to do, I did the opposite. And I went through about five different doctors during my prenatal care. Finally delivering with the fifth and final doctor who actually didn't know me. And it was a very uneventful delivery. My second child, I stuck with the same doctors the whole pregnancy, and it was an absolute disaster. I even did what I was told, which was not a good idea. And I ended up being hospitalized for 18 days, undergoing two surgeries. Second surgery was to treat the complications of the first and unnecessary surgery, which was a C-section. And after that, I sat and I thought, I said, you know what? I might not have done any better at home, but I don't think I'd have done any worse. So for the third child, I actually stayed at home. Put on a little blanket, sat down, looked at my watch, and said, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait. It took about 2 hours and 15 minutes, and out came the baby, very uneventful, no problem, healthy baby, and very easy. And in 2 days, I was up and doing errands and just felt great. And you don't know this if you limit yourself to a hospital birth. You don't realize how easy a home birth is in terms of your recovery. Now, I did cheat. I took a little spritz of pain medicine. But a home birth is, the advantages are just overwhelming. Certainly, obviously, you don't have any, you don't have the huge, huge medical bill. A lot of young couples who are starting out, either the health insurance premiums or the bill itself just literally puts them in the poorhouse. Next is child care. Keep it very simple, very simple. Skip the vaccinations. This means you skip the vaccination complications, skip the bottle feeding, skip the baby food. If you've been alive long enough, you know all the different scandals about the apple juice that had no apples, the bottle pureed peas that had crushed glass in it. So there's all kinds of horror stories about things that happen to babies when parents unknowingly agree to submit their baby or expose their baby to farming. And you can also skip the baby shampoo, anything that has baby on it, just forget it. Use very mild stuff, basically water, and only things that you yourself use and find to be satisfactory. So this means basically you're looking at a breastfed baby who eats the same food that you eat, only mashed up when the baby, if the baby's big enough to eat solid food. And this drastically, drastically slashes your budget. And schooling, definitely homeschool, cheaper than public schooling and private schooling. Believe it or not, I found that that public schooling was the most expensive, followed by private school and followed by homeschool. You say, how can that be? How could private school be cheaper than public school? Well, private schools, I found, did not have a lot of hidden fees. So, yes, they charge you that big upfront few thousand bucks for each kid, but then you're pretty much set. And I was fortunate the kids lived only two blocks from the private school, and they could just walk to school. So it was much, much, much cheaper than public school. Also, homeschooling creates family cohesiveness and happiness. And for me, I can say for the family, it was just the best thing I did, even though I did it by accident.
All right, James, we'll take a quick break to let everyone that maybe just tuned in, you're listening to the Blake Radio, and this is Rainbow Soul, Hello, Dr. Daniels. Today's title is Humans, the New Cash Crop. And you can also visit Dr. Daniels at vitalitycapsules.com/find out to find out your risk for murder by medicine. And if you have any questions, please call in to 914-338-0695. Okay, Dr. Daniels, sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. And then food is another category where you can avoid farming. And if you're having cravings for a food that has a brand name attached to it, you are being farmed. I mean, the ultimate revolt would be to simply eat the weeds. Even though I lived in a city, I actually went and planted fruit trees. And we had June berries, peaches, pears, plum tree did not do so well, and a couple of apple trees. And so people can do this. They can. Some trees grow very quickly in a matter of 2 to 3 years and give quite very, very nice fruit. I'm living in the tropics now and cannot believe a banana tree grows in just a few months. So people need to literally look around and see what plants are edible, what weeds are edible, and literally eat the weeds. And whenever possible, avoid getting your food from the store. And plant herbs that are native to where you live. Herbs generally require no special care, since most of them are weeds anyway. And this helps you avoid the imported expensive organics and avoid the poisonous standard vegetables. And there are some foods you cannot easily cultivate, like bulk dry goods such as millet, and you know, may occasionally want to eat boiled bones to make stock, keep you healthy, or you may want to barter with a chemical-free farmer to get your eggs, chicken, honey, and other items you may want that you are not able to cultivate. Also, consider hunting wild game for your meats. This is huge. Between a garden and hunting wild game, you're basically liberated or freed from the grocery store. You can eat or buy food at farmers markets, but that's not even a guarantee. A lot of farmers markets, the farmers actually buy their food and then sell it at the market. So you're actually, even though it's called a farmers market, you're not buying it from the farmer. Another thing is health insurance. Health insurance is the ultimate of farming. And it's something to be avoided as much as you can. Now, there's a law that you have to pay anyway. It's almost worth paying the fee, the penalty, and not getting the insurance, and I'll explain why. Each dollar of medication you consume guarantees that you will need $3 more in additional health care to address the harm done by the medicine. So, in other words, I'll repeat that. Every dollar in medication you consume guarantees, on average, that you'll need $3 in additional health care to address the harm done by the medicine. Further, you pay every month to have access to this harm. This is the telltale sign that you're being farmed. Monthly repetitive payments. The monthly insurance bill is the harvest that the farmer is extracting from you. This makes all the other farming possible. It makes it possible to get your children hooked on drugs, makes it possible for schools to mandate family counseling if they do not approve of your child's worldview.
Okay, Dr. Daniels, we'll take another quick break and let everybody know that you're listening to the Blake Radio Rainbow Soul, and this is here with Dr. Daniels. Please visit Dr. Daniels at vitalitycapsules.com/find out to find your risk for murder by medicine. Okay, Dr. Daniels.
And so the health experience is the other piece of the farming and harvesting. The healthcare system is the linchpin for the farming system. The administration of healthcare facilitates and advances the harvesting process. So each dollar you ingest in medicine, as we mentioned before, will lead you to consume $3 in medical care to address the harm done that we've already consumed. And then if you consume more medication to address the harm done by the initial medication, that will lead to yet another $3 in medical care. So it has a multiplier effect. If you accept more pills to address the harm, you're going to get more money. So every dollar gives $3, every $3 gives $9, and so on. And this removes a lot of money from your pocket very quickly. So what? You say that you have health insurance? Well, this is exactly the point. The process intimidates people into buying nothing more than extortion protection. You buy health insurance to pay for harm caused by health care. Now, if a mafia don came up to you and offered you a protection policy so he did not break your kneecaps, you would quickly figure out he's not on your side. You would not happily pony up so when he hit you with a baseball bat, he could help you out by hitting you again. Somehow, when we talk of health care, judgment is suspended, and the pre-programmed reflexes embedded during the 12 to 20 years of farmer-sponsored education take over. You know, we have a caller, so I'm going to say hi to this caller. Hello, caller, you're on the air?
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
This is John Dealey from Syracuse.
Yes.
I understand now why when I was taking care of my mother at home, I had to bring her to the hospital because the doctor, she had a fever, and the doctor said 104. He said, "Well, if it were my mother, I'd bring her to the hospital." You know, I brought her to the hospital, and they said, "Well, we'd better admit her and find out to see what's wrong," and so. I got sick myself, and I couldn't go there for 2 days while she was in there. And when I came back, I found out they weren't feeding her. And I said, "Well, you're not feeding her." And he said, "Well, she's liable to aspirate." And I said, "Well, she has a little bit of problem," but I said, "But she's fine at home, you know." And so eventually, they let her eat. And the doctor said, "Well," he said, "you were right." But he tried to convince me that we should not feed her anymore, and then she would die within a week or so. And now I understand why they wanted to do that, because as you said, they make more money when the person dies in the hospital. I couldn't believe this guy was saying this. It's a new system they got. They're called in-hospital physicians. You're not treated by your own doctor, you know, when you go to the hospital not anymore.
Exactly. And the reason why you're not treated by your own doctor, the doctor is called a hospitalist, the one that you saw. And what makes him a hospitalist is he's employed by the hospital, and he's basically signed a contract to do whatever the hospital wants him to do. Like if you had, like her doctor of 20 years, if he had seen her, and even if he had admitted her, he would never have agreed to do such a thing to her just because of his relationship that he has with you and with her.
Yeah.
And so hospitals need to get around this because they can't make the profits they need to make if doctors have these relationships with the patients or with the family, and that relationship is stronger than the doctor's relationship with the hospital. And so they solve this problem by not giving privileges to those community doctors, and their pretense is all those doctors aren't as well trained. And they get this doctor to say, he's a hospitalist, he's been specially trained for hospital-based illnesses. And what he's really been specially trained to do is follow protocols that maximize the profit for the hospital.
Yeah, exactly. So, one other question. I had no health insurance until I was 63, when I had a kidney stone. And then I found out it was going to cost me so much money. I had a stent put in, and the doctor said, well, he says, you know, you can go to the VA hospital, because I was a veteran. So I did. I went there, and so I still didn't, you know, I didn't have any health insurance. But then when I turned 63, you know, it's a... I thought, well, you know, Medicare, but, you know, I'm thinking it's a waste of money. I never use it.
Exactly, and if you don't use it, you'll live a lot longer.
Yeah, I agree with that. The only thing is, if I come down with some kind of a serious illness, then, you know, but, you know, everybody's got their time to go, you know, so
but you're making an assumption here, and you have to be very consistent in your thinking. If you did come down to serious illness, would the hospital be able to help you?
That's what I'm thinking. You know, they're not.
Exactly.
If I come down with, like, esophageal cancer, if the distal esophagus or something, like that's what my father died from, you know, there was nothing I can do for him. My father was smart. He said, you can't do anything for me? Good. I don't want them cutting me open anyway. So his words were a little stronger than that. So he decided to die at home. He died in died in 3 months, and pretty happy. He had very little pain until about the last 2 days. And then the doctor said, well, give him some morphine for the pain. And, of course, I did was going to kill him, but it did. But, maybe it helped him, you know, to be a little more comfortable. Maybe it was the right thing to do. I don't know. Anyway,
right. It is difficult to say.
I won't waste any more of your time. But anyway, it's so gratifying to hear somebody, especially from the medical profession, say all these truths, because you're the only one out there.
Yeah, we got to get the word out and distribute, you know, information so people have an understanding. And I think it'll help a lot of people to heal emotionally from all the damage they've experienced in the system.
Yeah, I forward this to a lot of people, and I put a lot of it on Facebook. So I don't know if people take advantage of it and listen and think about it, maybe they'll be better off. But most people, you know, this it just seems too bizarre to be true, but it is.
It is too bizarre. It's why I think we'll need to hear it a few times, and then they'll be having experiences, and they'll say, "Hey, wait! Oh, wow! This matches this." But, you know, you just have to, you know, hear the message a few times, and after a while, people will start thinking and. You know, you just have to realize, I mean, I didn't figure it out overnight.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, bye now.
Goodbye. Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Rob Davis, and I'm calling from, South Carolina, but I'm in Raleigh. I'm working out in the field for a couple of weeks. Dr. Daniels, I want to really thank you for the work you're doing. And between me and my friends, we got a word when people are really putting it down, and it's called truthing. And I want to say you're truthing, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, because these cats, man, I tell people all the time that no matter what you put your finger on in this society we live in, it's rigged. I mean, from top to bottom. I'm talking about super... super, super rigged. If you dig deep enough and go through the layers of anything in the society, you'll find out it is rigged when you get to the bottom. And when you talk about this food and diet, I was telling people about the economic bailout. Don't concern yourself with the economic bailout. Bail yourself out. You got the power to do that, to bail yourself out. You want to do something to help this financial crisis? Fix yourself. You'll help the system. You know, I mean, you'll help. The bottom line is you help yourself, you help everything else. That's the bottom line. You don't worry about the governments, the dollars, if the country's going to do this, because they're going to keep on rolling. You got to roll with yourself, and the best thing you can do is take care of your health. That's your greatest and biggest investment. You know, and if you got children, they watch you, and they learn, and you can, you know, it perpetuates an ongoing cycle of good habits, and it begins with thinking, you know. So, Doctor, keep on truthing.
You're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Davis had an excellent point. However, as people do this, they need accurate information because people are going to fight to get their kid into the best daycare center, to get their kid into the best private school, not realizing that this is simply all part of the farming and harvesting process and may not really be in the best interest of either their child or their family happiness or their economic prosperity. So that's really, it's such a need out there for accurate information. So I'd like to say a few more words. So after years of participating in healthcare, there's a 30 to 50% chance that you will actually die of it. Well, what happens then? Well, if you find your organ donor card, you will be recycled for even more profit to the farmer. Full circle. Conception to death, harvested at every turn, the farmer profits. The animal suffers and works, giving up all their labor and even his life for the benefit of the farmer.
All right, Davis, this is really something to think about. Listeners, you're listening to the Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, and this is Healing with Dr. Daniels. Please visit Dr. Daniels at vitalitycapsules.com/find out to find out your risks for Heard About Medicine. Dr. Daniels, looks like we have a couple minutes. Could you tell us what we have, the listeners, for next week?
Yes, next week is how prenatal care shatters the security of the womb.
Well, that sounds great. And I want to remind our listeners, real quick side note, that you can go to vitalitycapsules.com, click on True Files, and those are the previous radio shows from Dr. Daniels, just in case if we have any new listeners or if you miss any episodes that you would like to listen to.
Okay, well, you know, we have one more call in line. I'm going to unmute this caller and see if they have any questions. Oops, I'm hitting the wrong button. Let me hit the other button. Hi, caller, area code 516. Just want to check, see if you have any questions.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Dr. Daniels. This is Miriam Snyder. And I'm just
Miriam.
I'm here to support you. I got on a little late, but God bless you. What was the subject I got on late?
The subject was humans, the new cash crop, how humans are being harvested by the healthcare system.
Oh, okay. Great topic. Okay, I'll listen to the tape. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, Dr. Daniels, do you have any, got 2 more minutes, I think, around there.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell us?
Well, we can mention a couple of things. You know, a lot of people, you know, we did talk about healthcare, but people are harvested in so, so many ways. And the purpose of this harvesting is to extract so much economic wealth from the individual that they have no discretionary income left. And that is so critical and key to a farm animal. I mean, can you imagine how dangerous a farm animal would be if they could save up a year's worth of feed and do as they please and not pay any attention to the farmer for a whole year because they had all the feed they need? Well, that's untenable. Can't have that. And it's the same with humans. And so we have the harvesting really occurring at every level. I just want to talk about energy. That's what's a neat one. And this is also key. If you have to, use less, at the same time, get more value. And I'll tell you my personal experience. When I was raising my children, one winter, I turned off all the fuses to all the lights in the house and used sunlight as my only source of light. But each kid got one lamp with a cord they could take around the house if they wanted to and plug it in wherever they wanted to. And what happened was my electric bill went down by $50 a month, and the kids' hyperactivity went away, and their argumentative behavior evaporated. And so I not only had to reduce my harvesting, but I had increased savings and increased harmony. So savings like these, you know, when you get out the farm, it's just phenomenal, and things can really multiply. Another thing you can do is even working from home, and you may find that you really don't need that car. And so that's another interesting concept. So I think that's it for our time today. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll have the replays on the website. And we'll see you again next week with prenatal care and how it shatters the security of the womb. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dr. Bass.
You're welcome.